We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
How many of us know about Jim? Jim. Do you know about Jim? Okay, I'll tell you about Jim. So basically, there's a guy called Jim. Jim came to church, on a Christmas service. Now, as he was leaving church, our dear Jim, a pastor went to greet Jim. The pastor went to Jim and said, "Jim, it's good to see you. You know, but Jim, I think you need to join the army of the Lord." Jim is like, "Pastor, what do you mean? You know, I'm already in the army of the Lord." And the pastor said, "Jim, but how is it that we only see you on a Christmas service and on Easter? You know, why is that so?" And then Jim looks to the left and he looks to the right and he says, "Pastor, because I'm in the secret service." So look at your neighbor and say, "He's not talking about me. I'm not in the secret service. I'm not in the secret service. He's not talking about me. He's talking about my neighbor." I'd like to speak to us this morning. If you're writing notes, I'd like to take us through a narrative. And this narrative is called Making Room to Launch into the Deep. Making room to launch out into the deep. And this narrative is taken from Luke chapter 5. We will exegete this scripture together as we go on. This narrative, I said, is called Making Room to Launch Out into the Deep. It had been one of those nights, cold and fruitless. One of those nights, absolutely cold and fruitless. All night long, down the seas of Galilee, up and down, casting out your nets and pulling them back, expecting to receive something, but yet empty. You try every trick in the book, every trick and everything that you've learned over the years. That's that one night. You keep trying it. Every single trick, you keep casting out your nets with all your experiences, but as you pull them back, yet still no success. Nothing is happening. And it's now morning. It's now morning. And you spent all night long toiling and laboring and working, yet you have nothing to show for it. It's one of those nights. Cold and fruitless. After laboring all night long, yet you still have nothing to show for it. As you are there, cold and exhausted, washing your nets, thinking of how you would handle your angry customers, thinking of how you would explain to them that you don't have fish for them this morning. You were there contemplating, making out a script in your head and what you're going to say and then cleaning your empty nets. And all you see is a man coming your direction with a large crowd following him. Minding your business, you go back to your empty nets and continue washing them. Continue washing them. You're just contemplating in your mind, how is it that I've labored all night long? I've cast my nets. I've used all my experiences, yet I don't even have a prawn to show for it. And here comes the man. You see him coming like, whatever. And you keep washing your nets. Keep washing your nets. As you are rinsing your nets, cold, exhausted, and tired, you hear your name being called. Simon! You're like, can I help you? Simon, I need to use your boat. Cold and exhausted, they don't even have energy to waste. You're like, sure, whatever, it's useless anyways. Oh, whilst you're at it, Simon, could you move your net, your boat away from the seashore? I just want to use it for a few minutes. Have you ever experienced those nights where you've labored as hard as you can, done everything you know, everything you've been taught, yet there's no result? Year in, year out, you labor, you toil, yet there's nothing to show for it. You work so hard, and then on payday, it seems that everything goes to the taxman and bills, nothing left for yourself. It's been a cold night and fruitless, yet nothing to show for it. Simon, I need to use your boat. Simon, I need to use your boat. Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't actually need Simon Peter and his boat? Jesus didn't need him, not at all. See, if Jesus wanted to make a statement preaching to the crowd, if he wanted to make a statement, Jesus could have easily walked on water. I mean, how amazing is that? You know, you start in your ministry, you're like, okay, how do I impress these people? That let me just show them that I'm God, that don't just make my life easy. All right, I'm going to walk on water and say, good morning, church. You know, I am your Lord, I am your Savior. But that's not God. Jesus did not need Peter. But Jesus chose to use Peter. Why? Because God is in the business of partnering with us. God wants to partner with you and I. He wants to use what you have to extend his kingdom. God is in the business and he wants to partner you and I. He wants to partner us. Says Simon Peter, I want to use what you have. Simon, I want to use your abilities. I want to use your boat. I want to partner with you. But are you willing to make room for me? Are you ready to make room for me? Because I want to partner with you. See, the issue we have today is we live in a transactional society. Jesus says, I want to partner with you. And then we're like, okay, Lord, I hear you, but here's a contract. You need to sign this, you know. And by the way, Lord, you know, I also take a deposit just in case there's any damages on my boat. Nothing personal, Lord. It's just business. It's just business. Oh, by the way, Lord, whilst you're at it, I charge £100 an hour. You know, I have to pay the bills. Nothing personal, Lord. It's just business. Wow. It is just business. Check this out. Church, we will never know what God can do until we make room for him. We'll never know what he can really, really do, truly do until we make room for him. Before meeting Jesus, Peter and his mates had a problem. And the problem was no fish. These guys were on a day rate, meaning that no fish for the day, no income. No fish for the day, angry customers. No fish for the day, bad reputation. Now, okay, maybe because we don't fish, we don't understand it. Imagine a bank running out of money. Yeah? Can you imagine that? Imagine a bank running out of money. You wake up in the morning expecting to go to a cash machine to withdraw your money. And then when you get there, the bank is like, oh, sorry, insufficient funds. But I have money. Oh, no, we've run out of money. That's bad reputation. A fisherman that has run out of fish, that's bad reputation. That's bad rap. And these guys, they had a problem. They had no fish. Peter, may I use your boat? Are you willing to make room for God in the midst of your frustration? Are you willing to make room for God in the midst of everything that you're going through? Are you prepared to make room for God, you know, throughout your situations and turmoil and trouble? Can you make room for God? Peter stopped doing everything he was doing. He gets into his boat and he moves it offshore so that this man called Jesus can do what? He can preach. And here is Jesus preaching, telling the people about the kingdom of God. And Peter, the fishless fisherman, finds himself on a Sunday service that morning, listening to the word of God. As Jesus was preaching, Peter was listening. Now, when Jesus finished preaching, he turns to Peter and he said, oh, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Woo! Now, to you and I, it sounds very, very exciting, isn't it? It sounds logical. Okay, Jesus, you finished preaching, you're telling me to launch out into the deep for a catch. It sounds logical. But to a fisherman, to an experienced fisherman, especially around the region of Galilee, that was not logical. Because any experienced fisherman will tell you that fishermen around that area, the fish, number one, at night, not in the deep end, the fish at the shallow waters at night. That's how they caught their fish. Jesus says, Peter, launch out into the deep or on broad daylight for a catch. Lay down your net for a catch. Woo! Simon says, Lord, Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. We've toiled all night long and caught nothing. And God being God, they were silent. You know, Peter was expecting to hear something back, but they were silent. So he goes to his partners, James and John, and he says, guys, he wants us to launch out into the deep. And then James is like, when, tonight? Peter's like, no, right now. Is he serious? Yeah, man, I think it's very serious. And then John is just there, you know, chilling. He's like, guys, don't look at me. I don't even know the guy. You know, it's not my problem. Don't look at me. Peter goes back to Jesus and says, Lord, with all due respect, you know, I know that you are, you know, you are a good teacher. You know, you tell people fascinating things about the kingdom of God, but I'm a fisherman. You know, I know fish. I understand their habits. You know, we usually, listen to that word, we usually catch fish at night in shallow waters. Right now, you know, it's not going to work. What you are telling me to do is contrary to my training. You see, we usually go out at night and catch fish. And right now, it's daylight, number one. So if I throw my net, the fish will be able to see the net coming. So they'll run away. And number two, because it's now getting warm, all the fish have gone down to rest. So it's not going to work. Church, often you and I are like Peter. I know I am. At this point, I start to calculate. I become an expert in maths. Right? I become really good at maths right now. I begin to calculate. I begin to make up my own equations to why it wouldn't work. Why I'm not the right person for the job. I don't know about you, but that's me. Why I'm not the right person for the job. So what is it about this fisherman that made them hesitate to listen to this young preacher, to this 30-year-old preacher? What made them hesitate? Why did they hesitate to listen to this preacher? I think their past experience was coming into the way. If you're writing notes, their past experience was coming onto the way. Verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled night and day and caught nothing. Basically saying, teacher, you are great at carpentry, you know, and you preach marvelous things, but you know, I know fishing. I'm an expert in this department. This is my area. You know, with due respect, what you're telling me to do, it doesn't work. It's contrary to my training. Master, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing. Listen to the word. Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. The word toil is from the Latin word being crushed or being grind. Basically, what Peter is saying is, listen, Master, we have grind all night. We have been crushed all night long, but we caught nothing. But we caught nothing, Master. We have been crushed all night long. We have done everything we could by our own abilities, by our own strength, but yet we have caught nothing. Nothing has worked. The problem we have today, church, is that when God tells us to do something that we had previously tried, rather than doing it at His commands, you know, at His command, we quickly conclude, well, I tried it last time, it didn't work. Why would it work now? I tried reaching to so-and-so last time, it didn't work. I tried preaching to so-and-so last time, it didn't work. I tried praying and fasting last time for such and such days, for such amount of years, it didn't work. So why would it work now? But there comes a time in life where we have to throw out our net into the net despite our experiences. In spite of us feeling crushed or previously feeling crushed, there comes a time where we have to throw out our net. See, very often following Christ, when we choose to follow Christ, we have to lay aside our past experiences and start afresh and throw aside our nets. Master, we've been crushed all night long, but we caught nothing. We caught nothing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, the word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Submit your ways to him and he will make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. You know, and 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 9, the word of God says that we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, meaning confused, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You may feel like you've been crushed this morning. You may feel like you have been grinded this morning by a particular situation, by a particular news or an illness. You may feel like something is crushing this morning, but I'm here to remind you that it's not over. It's not over. You are not destroyed. You are not destroyed. It's not over. It's not over. Make room for him. Make room for God. What else about these fishermen that made them hesitate to listen to this 30-year-old preacher? What else? I think it was an obedience issue. That's what I think. It was an obedience issue. That's what made them hesitate to listen to this young preacher. Simon answered him, Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. Semicolon. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was breaking. Wow. Now, let's go back. So now, these fishermen toiled all night long and caught nothing. So what was it about these fishermen that made them catch nothing? Was it because they had no experience? I don't think so. Was it because the sea had run out of fish? I really don't think so. So what's the reason? What made these fishermen toil all night long and catch nothing? And the answer to this is, I don't know. I really don't know. But one thing I do know is that obedience to Christ activates breakthrough that only he can provide. Obedience to Christ activates supernatural breakthroughs in our lives. In our lives. We have toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will lay down the net. We toil all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will lay down the net. This was their turning point. Nevertheless was their turning point. Nevertheless was their key to open doors. See, nevertheless changed the course of their lives. As a matter of fact, that nevertheless changed the course of history as we know it today. We've told all night long, but nevertheless at your word, I'll lay down the net. I'm reminded of a young lady who was desperate to save her people from being wiped out from the face of the earth. She was desperate, but she was afraid. She was afraid of losing her life in the process because the law of the land was that no one should ever approach the king's courts without ever being summoned. And for her to save her people, she had to approach the king's court without being summoned. She was afraid. But quickly she came to her senses and says, I know this will cost me my life, but nevertheless, I'll go see the king. If I perish, I perish. And as she entered into the king's court, the king extended his golden scepter, which is an act of grace. And Queen Esther saved her people. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Is there someone with a nevertheless this morning? Is there a person with a nevertheless this morning? Lord, I've tried such and such, but nevertheless. Lord, I've cried all night long, wishing what had happened never happened, but nevertheless. Lord, I've done such and such, but nevertheless. Lord, I'm afraid to do such and such. I know it's going to cost me my life, but nevertheless. Nevertheless. Is there someone with a nevertheless this morning? As you launch out into the deep, you're not laboring in vain. As you launch out into the deep, your breakthrough is awaiting for you there. As you launch out into the deep, the Lord Jesus has got something for you. But do you have a nevertheless this morning? Where is your nevertheless? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, one other reason why this fisherman hesitated to listen to this young, this 30-year-old preacher was that they were afraid of something. They were afraid of something. They were afraid of something. Verse 8, the Bible says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. 9, for he and all who were there with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. 10, and also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their nets to the land, they forsook everything and followed him. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I honestly used to think Jesus said, do not be afraid, because Peter was in awe, in reverence of, of the power of God. That's what I used to think. But it hit me that actually Peter was really afraid. He was afraid. But what is it about Peter? What is it about this situation that made Peter afraid? The Bible tells us in chapter 4 of the book of Luke that Jesus visited Simon's house and he healed Simon's mother-in-law and many others. So it is true that Simon had previously seen Jesus do miracles, right? Yes, it's true. So what is it about this encounter that made Simon fall on his knees in fear? Think about it. What is it about this encounter that made Simon fall down on his knees in fear? I think Simon was afraid of losing everything he had worked so hard to build. The boat was everything to Peter. The boat was everything to him. It was his career. The boat was his purpose. The boat was his income. The boat paid his mortgage. The boat put food on the table. And he knew that following Jesus meant that he had to forsake everything. He had to leave behind everything that he had worked so hard to build. The boat was everything to him. See, these days, we get born, we grow up, we go to school and choose our careers. Back in the days, that wasn't the same. Back in the days, you were a career that your ancestors were. So that was his life, that was his career. Peter had invested everything. Generations before him had invested everything into this fishing business. So he knew that leaving everything behind to follow Jesus was him becoming a black sheep of the family. So he was afraid. What are you afraid of this morning? What are you afraid of? The first instruction the angels gave to Mary was, do not be afraid, Mary. The first instruction the angel told Joseph when he had considered divorcing Mary in private, do not be afraid to take home Mary to be your wife. And then Jesus tells Peter, do not be afraid. See, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why? Because fear can often make us give up on something that God is about to use to bless you. Look at Joseph. He was about to divorce Mary. And in the process, walk away from his very situation. That's what fear does to us. What are you afraid of this morning? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Launching out into the deep requires total commitment. It requires forsaking the shallow end. See, growing up, I used to love swimming. I used to love being in the swimming pool. I just used to love water growing up. I still do, by the way. But growing up, it was worse. And at least now I can tame it because I'm a bit grown up. But growing up, I used to love being in the swimming pool. But the only problem was, I couldn't swim. Yeah. Sometimes I go to the pool, oh yes, pack my bags, everything, you know. But you know, I used to love being in the water. But the only problem was I couldn't swim. So what I would do is I would camp at the deep end, at the shallow end. You know, I just sit there splashing water, just watching, admiring how people jumped from the diving board as they launched into the deep. I just used to admire them. I used to love it. And over time, because I spent so much time in the shallow end, over time, I began to build a following. People started following me at the shallow end. And there are many of us now, we're cheating. Life was good at the shallow end, And to impress my fellow non-swimmers, I used to, tiptoe onto the, towards the deep end. I used to tiptoe until the water's here. And, and because water is currency, it moves. So when I thought that water was moving me into the deep end, I'll get scared and tiptoe back into the shallow end, where I felt comfortable, where I knew what I was doing. So one day, whilst flirting with the deep end, as I usually did. So imagine this is a swimming pool. I will come, I'll be like, I'll throw my and I walk away, flirting, impressing my non-swimmers. So one day whilst I was flirting with the deep end, as I was doing this, someone came and pushed me into the deep end. And lo and behold, I began to drown. Swallowing water and everything. The same guy who pushed me then came and pulled me out. I almost died. But that was the beginning of something new for me. I was so embarrassed that even my non-swimming friends, my non-swimming followers were laughing at me of what just happened. But that was the beginning of something new for me. I made a decision. I was like, no, I cannot I cannot die trying from the shallow end. Something has to change. So I made a decision that I'll learn to swim. And I did. So for a very long time, I wasted my time at the shallow end, admiring people, impressing people at the shallow end. That's what I did. I was in a swimming pool, but I wasn't swimming. I was admiring other people doing the swimming for me. I was admiring them. Life was good at the shallow end. It was so good, I love the life of the status quo. I love playing the boss, and impressing others. But the law of the average wasn't taking me where I needed to be. See, fear was holding me back. I was in the swimming pool, but I wasn't swimming. Many of us today, the Lord is calling us to go into the deep end. But because of the reputation, because of the comfortability and the reputation that we've built at the shallow end, that is holding us back from going into the deep end. Many of us today, the Lord is calling us to go, to throw our nets into the deep end. But the thought of fishing on broad daylight, whilst everyone else did the opposite, is embarrassing to us. But the Lord says, throw out. What's the Lord saying to you today? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God is commanding you to do? Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied toiling day and night and not catching anything? Are you satisfied? It's been a long and fruitful night. It's been a long and fruitful and fruitless night. All throughout the year, up and down the Sea of Galilee, catching nothing. Now it's come to the end of the year and you feel like you've got nothing significant to show for it. I'm here to tell you that it's not over. The Lord Jesus has gone into 2022 for you. The Lord Jesus wants to use your boat in 2022, and all you have to do is make room for Him. Make room for the Lord. Make room for Him. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are calling us to go deeper in you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you may give us the grace that the reputation that we've built in the shallow end, God, may we let it go. Because it's not doing us any favors. I know it's not doing me any favors, Lord. Father, may we go deeper in you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank God that you have spoken. We thank you, Father, that you are saying to someone this morning that your breakthrough is at the deep end. That you will find me at a deep end, not at a shallow end. So, Father, May we respond. May we launch out our nets. May we make room to launch out into the deep, even as we enter 2022. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.